You are listening to the Progress Your Health Podcast, episode 52.
Welcome to the Progress Your Health Podcast with your hosts, Dr. Robert Mackey and Dr. Valerie Davidson, a husband and wife team who specialize in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and functional medicine. They're here to help you lose weight, balance hormones, and age gracefully. It's their mission to motivate, educate, and empower you to take your health to the next level. And now your hosts, hormone experts, Dr. Mackey and Dr. Davidson.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Progress Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Davidson.
So this episode, we're going to dive right into another listener question. It's been a trend as of late, as you can tell. We've been getting a lot of questions, so we just figured this is a great way to facilitate so people get their direct response, but now everyone gets to benefit from that. It's just too hard for us. We just don't have enough time to respond directly to all of them. This way, it benefits everybody. It gives us some content to talk about. People get their answers, but then everyone else gets to share in that answer. So this question is from Karen. So Dr. Davidson, would you like to read the question?
Yes. So it's kind of a long question, but we really like it because it kind of talks a lot about what we've been talking about and also talks about how people are all different. You know, you can't, like I always say, you know, one cookie cutter size doesn't fit all when you're dosing or giving somebody hormones. So this is from Karen. I am struggling to find the right dosage and combination of BHRT. I believe that I am sensitive to progesterone. I am 53 years old, started menopause at age 50. Hot flashes and weight gain are my two main symptoms. I was super thin my entire life, and now I'm 35 pounds overweight. I have 2 to 5 flashes at night, not soaking, but they wake me up. Otherwise, I would sleep fine, and I always have one at 4 to 5 a.m. During the day, I have several hot flashes. Not unbearable while I'm on this BHRT, but when I stopped taking everything, it was brutal. I've always been on some form of hormones for about 2 years now. Before, I tried the patch, estradiol, and my symptoms became tolerable. The flashes were going away to the point that I only got one in the early morning. And then I would take a progesterone pill, 100 milligrams oral, that I gradually tried to decrease. As soon as I took the progesterone capsule, the flashes would increase in intensity and frequency. I then switched from the estradiol patch and the progesterone capsule to a cream. So currently, I am taking a combined cream of 5 milligrams estradiol, 30 milligrams of progesterone, and 6 milligrams of testosterone per gram. I apply a 1/4 gram of this once a day. I still have difficulty losing weight, and the flashes are still multiple times at night and throughout the day. But if I stop this cream, it's 10 times worse. I'd like to switch to a biased, or maybe even cycling my doses. I've read about the rhythmic protocol for hormones, but the dosing looks super high, at least to start. I plan to stop the testosterone. I don't have my numbers handy, but the levels weren't that bad, and maybe might take some DHEA instead. My estrogen levels were pretty much non-existent when I tested before starting hormones. My progesterone levels were low, but not terrible. I plan to test again after starting the new protocol. Can you suggest a starting dose? Should I do a 50-50 ratio? How long can I go with progesterone, or how low can I go with progesterone and still have it protect me? I want to do the cycling doses or the rhythmic dosing protocol, but I'm unsure. So thank you for any guidance, which is greatly appreciated. And then it says, do I need a script for that? Or can I order this all online, which we'll definitely answer. And then she also has added to her question is, can I use estriol vaginally in addition? Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on in that question, right? And that's why we wanted to talk about it, because she brings in what she's referring to in the beginning, which refers to a static dosing. And then she brings in this kind of newer idea that's been around for a few years called rhythmic dosing. Rhythmic dosing is basically restoring the hormone levels of, let's say, that of a 30 or a 35-year-old. So the estrogen level kind of rises and falls. The progesterone level rises and falls. If you look at a female hormone graph, if you look at it, what it looks like over a 30-day period or a 28-day cycle, there's two basic phases of a woman's cycle. There's the follicular phase, which is all estrogen, and there's the luteal phase, which is all progesterone. We'll come back to the rhythmic dosing a little bit. Let's hash the other part first, and we'll go from there.
Well, one thing that, you know, there's a few things that jump out here that I definitely want to address for Karen, as Karen being a particular individual. This doesn't, you know, definitely doesn't go to everybody, but for women that have been on some form of hormone therapy, be it Premarin, Prempro, or in her case, an estradiol patch like a Minivel or a Combi patch or the Vivel dot, is, you know, that's a really strong form of estrogen to start off in the system, which is fine. Like she said, her hot flashes were going away and symptoms became tolerable, but she couldn't, quote unquote, tolerate the progesterone, which is something we're definitely going to get into because that's important. But for her switching from an estradiol patch to even an estradiol cream static dose, sometimes it's a little too low to bridge that, which is why, like she said, she's on this cream, this estradiol cream, but she's still having quite a bit of hot flashes. She's having at least 2 to 5 a night and then always one at 4 to 5 a.m. So she's just getting a series of naps, and she's also getting some hot flashes during the day. Like she said, when she stops the cream completely, it's brutal, but she's still having the hot flashes. So when you have somebody that's been on a prior hormone, maybe a conventional type of hormone replacement, you have to change the dose for that individual to help it bridge that.
Yeah, and the ratio that we typically use to start out is a 80-20 ratio, but in her case, because she was on the previous conventional HRT, right, the patch, she might actually do fine with a 50-50. Right now, she's just on straight estradiol. She's not on a ratio at all. It's just straight estradiol, so it's 100% estradiol. You know, that might be actually a little bit too strong, right, potentially, and where she could get all the symptom relief that she wants from having a little bit more of a little bit of estriol in there. But more than likely, like you said, if she's still having hot flashes, the dose just needs to go up.
Yeah. Or like Dr. Mackey was saying about that estradiol, it's more like it needs to be balanced. So like the estradiol is important, but at the same time, you got to balance it with some estriol so it can have a little bit more of a positive effect for Karen. So if anything, I do think raising up the estradiol, but adding in some estriol at the same time and doing a 50-50 ratio for her is appropriate. Like she had mentioned, should I do a 50-50 ratio? I definitely absolutely think she should, where as opposed to somebody that's going into menopause and they've never been on any hormones, shouldn't do a 50-50 ratio.
Yeah, right. And that's where we usually start. If that's why their history is important. If they've done it in the past, you either do a higher dosage or a lower ratio. So either more milligrams, you know, 3, 5 something milligrams of biased, or a lower amount of milligrams with a 50-50 ratio. So you get the benefit of both, but because she was on the conventional hormones in the past, she's going to need more of that hormone. She's still having hot flashes. Her estrogen level, whatever ratio it is, it's just not high enough. It needs to increase.
Yeah. And like we've always said, and all you listeners have heard, is estriol E3 is a very weak form of estrogen, but estriol helps balance the negative effects or rein in the negative effects of estradiol. Estradiol is the best hormone in the world. It's amazing, but she's a runaway train if you don't hold back some of those negative effects. In particular, for the Vivel patch or any kind of estradiol patch, it is pretty much assured that most women that use a patch are going to gain weight. Usually I say, you use a estradiol patch conventionally from your big box pharmacy, you're going to put on about 6 to 12 pounds. That's just how it is. No matter what you eat, no matter what you do, it's just what it does. But estriol, on the other hand, does help rein in that negative effect of the weight gain. So I'm thinking for Karen, sure, menopause, hormonal imbalances do tend to drop her metabolism, and then we have that weight gain. But then you throw on a estradiol patch, inevitably she's going to gain some weight. So part of that extra weight she says she's carrying around is probably from that patch she had been on. So now we're trying to account for that extra weight gain. But so really for her is the estriol, I think, would be hugely important.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And she also brings up the question about using estriol vaginally. That's the, one of the little tricks that we use all the time, that it can be used localized. If you're having any burning, any itching, any irritation, any pain with intercourse, you know, there's not really any good conventional options for that. They're still recommending Premarin cream, which we would never do something like that. The estriol cream is perfect. Usually a couple of milligrams, and you apply half a gram at night before you go to sleep, and it, you know, it doesn't take too long for that, you know, to, for that issue to be resolved relatively quickly. And then a woman knows her body very well, obviously, so then she can determine her frequency on a weekly basis. Usually it's anywhere from, you know, one to three times a week to maintain, you know, that comfort level over time.
So yes, definitely I think Karen should use some estriol E3 only vaginally. You don't want to use estradiol vaginally because then it goes into the bloodstream and you're messing with the levels in your system, which I think for her, which I do like her that she's on a cream because you never want to take estradiol or, you know, orally. Estrogen orally really is not, you know, not good for the liver and it's not good for the system. So I like that she's on a cream. She's on quite a bit of testosterone. So, you know, 6 milligrams of testosterone. Now, granted, she's only doing a quarter gram of that, which is not a lot once a day. And even with that 5 milligrams of estradiol, you know, a quarter gram once a day, that's not a lot. So I do think in answering Karen's question, she needs to be on a 50-50 ratio, needs to raise up the dosage, and she needs to do it twice a day. No wonder she's waking up all night. She's probably putting on this cream in the morning, and then by the time, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night rolls around, there's nothing in her system. So she's basically going to sleep with no hormones in her system, hence she's going to have a lot of hot flashes.
Yeah, right. And that's why we always recommend you, unfortunately, as inconvenient as it can be, you have to apply it twice, especially if you're having hot flashes. You have to apply the Biest twice a day, morning and evening, just because it doesn't last that long. You know, if you apply it just in the morning, it's going to wear off by the afternoon. If you apply it too early in the evening, it's going to wear off by 4 or 5 in the morning, you know, because the body, once the body receives that hormone, it wants it. The cells want it. It kind of soaks it up into the bloodstream right away. And that's why when the body's receiving some of that estrogen like that and the hot flashes either get worse or don't completely improve, that's the sign that the dose needs to increase. Another example of that and how we know that that's actually true is sometimes a woman won't have any hot flashes or very mild hot flashes. You give them some estrogen, all of a sudden now they got hot flashes. They think they have to stop it because it gave them hot flashes, but it just means the body wants more. Because like you said, for women, estrogen is the main hormone, right? That's the one that does everything. And it's not about having too much estrogen. It's about having enough. Usually that's an indication that the dose needs to increase.
Yeah. So I definitely think a 50-50 ratio, raising up the dosage and then doing it twice a day. And she had mentioned about being sensitive to progesterone and really should talk about this. And we've talked about this well before is progesterone is really important if you have a uterus. She's talked about taking the progesterone for protection, which, you know, progesterone can help protect the breast tissue. But in particular, if Karen has a uterus, she doesn't want to be doing estradiol long-term without doing some form of progesterone. And honestly, 30 milligrams per gram, and she's only doing a quarter gram of that once a day is not enough progesterone to protect her.
Yeah, right. So not only is she doing a cream of progesterone, which is not something we typically do or recommend, but she's doing 5 milligrams of estradiol. So she's having a really strong form of estrogen with very little progesterone to balance that out. And that's, you know, that's not really a great combination.
So technically, you know, she's on 1.25 milligrams of estradiol, which isn't a lot compared to what she was on her estradiol patch, but that's still a good amount of some estradiol for a female. And then she's doing a quarter gram of this cream that has 30 milligrams of progesterone. So one application, a quarter gram is 7.5 milligrams of progesterone. That's almost nothing. That really, I mean, that might as well be nothing. And you think about with the progesterone, eventually her lining of her uterus is going to get thick and she's going to get some spotting, or if she gets an ultrasound done, they'll say the lining is thick. We got to do a biopsy. And then she's down the rabbit's hole with that. So one side thing is definitely she needs to raise up her progesterone. If she's going to do a good amount of estradiol, which, you know, she's doing a straight estradiol here, even doing a 50-50 ratio of estradiol to estriol, she's going to need, most likely, if she has a uterus, she really needs an oral form of progesterone taken at night. Not necessarily the Prometrium. I'm thinking she might have been on the Prometrium, the instant release. Maybe that's why she was sensitive to it. But a lot of people do feel like they're sensitive to progesterone. We get this comment a lot. But when we break it down, we really find that they're sensitive to the lack of estriol, that they're not taking enough estrogen, or they might be taking a little bit too much testosterone, or really it's just not having the balance between the progesterone and the estrogens is what's causing their sensitivity.
Yeah, and one thing I've from experience that some compounding pharmacists will also put lactose in their progesterone capsules. Lactose is the sugar found in milk. Sometimes it makes people feel bloated. It can give them some digestive issues, you know, so you might want to check with the compounding pharmacy whether it's immediate release or sustained release. Sometimes that can make a big difference, you know, for progesterone. But yeah, 30 milligrams in a cream with a high dose like that, that's not ideal in the way that we would typically prescribe something.
No, absolutely. So definitely, I think, you know, Karen, you know, trying to find the right formulation of the progesterone, I don't think the cream is probably appropriate. If you have a uterus, doing a capsule, doing a sustained release, you know, hypoallergenic, like Dr. Mackey said, none of that milk sugar in there. You know, there's lots of different formulations that compounding pharmacies can make for that individual if they're sensitive. I mean, I have lots of patients that are vegan, and we make sure that they do a vegan capsule and everything's vegan. So there's lots of ways to make it when you have a compounding pharmacy, but I definitely think for Karen doing the progesterone. Now, that's looking at her dose right now. Now, she had mentioned that she wanted to do some cycling or doing some rhythmic dosing with the estradiol and the progesterone.
Yeah, now that's a completely different concept. The one thing that usually makes a woman decide one way or the other is with the rhythmic dosing. If you have a uterus, you will guaranteed get your period back. And most women, once they're in their 50s and they're going through that transition, they haven't had a period for a year or, you know, 6 months or 2 years or 5 years. The last thing they want to deal with is having a period again. Some women don't mind. The women that don't mind seem to always respond the best. They just like, give it to me. I'll take it. I want my hormones back to being a 35-year-old. They're fine with it. They're okay with the period. It doesn't bother them in the least. And usually that's really the deciding factor. Now, in a situation like this where she's contemplating, yes, she's right. It is straight estradiol and it is a progesterone cream as well. So it kind of contradicts what we said a few minutes ago. But the reason why it is okay to do it that way is because you're using estrogen for half the month. Basically, you're using it all month, but you're using a varied dose. Every 3 days, the dose goes up, it peaks at day 12, and then it comes down towards the end of the month at day 28. Progesterone starts on day 14, it peaks on day 20, and then it drops off, and then you finish on day 28. You start your period on day one again. So, you know, that one, and in that case, it's interesting In the rhythmic dosing, women don't really start off very well tolerating the progesterone very well at all. So we usually do the rhythmic dosing, the estrogen kind of at a basic level, and we drop the number of lines on the progesterone because it's usually the progesterone that causes them some of that kind of PMS feeling in the beginning. They feel bloated. They feel just a little bit uncomfortable. They feel like there's some water retention, makes them feel a little bit sluggish. So we lower the progesterone to start. And then over time, that progesterone might stay where it is, but the estrogen will continue to increase. But she's right. You know, the doses, the monthly doses at the peak level, right around day 12, day 13, they are pretty high comparatively. And it freaks a lot of doctors out because they see what you're talking about. And I didn't realize she's only doing a quarter dose. So she's doing 1.25 milligrams of estradiol. That's not very much. Once you're on the rhythmic dosing, it's well into the double digits, you know, and I think that makes some people nervous.
But like Dr. Mackey said, is you're changing it and it basically is following that of a 28-day female cycle. So some people do great, some people don't. You know, with Karen, because it sounds like she's a little more sensitive to the hormones in particular, that it may not be the best start for her because her two main complaints are weight gain and hot flashes. Yeah, the doing a rhythmic dose will definitely take care of your hot flashes. You know, that estradiol will take care of that. At the same time, you know, just readjusting her biased formulation and doing a 50-50 ratio, increasing that up, that will take care of her hot flashes and night sweats as well. But her main concern is also saying, you know, she's gained some weight since she went through these hormones. And she obviously, I'm pretty sure she probably gained some weight on that estradiol patch. So it might be better to kind of start off a little slow before jumping into something a little bit stronger like that cycling protocol.
Yeah, right. I like to use the, and tell me what your opinion is. I like to use the The best candidates for the rhythmic dosing are the ones that have had a hysterectomy. So we don't even have to worry about, they don't have to worry about getting a period. Although that can be a little bit harder to manage things because now you don't have the landmark, you know, of having the cycle every month, because you can determine a lot of things on how regular they are and what the actual period is like. If they don't have a period, then it's, you know, things are a little bit more subjective as far as what day they're on, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, or if they've gone into kind of quote unquote early menopause, and usually those hysterectomies are happening at an earlier age where their hormones would be that much higher anyways. So having them on a rhythmic dosing is usually they feel pretty good that way.
Yeah, definitely women that have gone through surgical menopause from having their ovaries removed, they do so much better on that rhythmic dosing. And to be honest, I have lots of women on the rhythmic dosing that like to get their period. I won't say the majority of them, but they do. They want to get their period. And if they don't, then we have to readjust the hormones and whatnot. But they do feel better on that rhythmic dosing. Now, the one thing with the rhythmic dosing is you can't just like write someone a prescription for a rhythmic dose and then see them once a year. It's not possible to individualize that, that hormone therapy for that patient just by writing a prescription and then never thinking about them or seeing them again. When you're doing a rhythmic cycling dose, you've got to see them every couple of months in the beginning because you've got to get the levels right in their bloodstream. You have to get their symptoms, you know, their subjective information taken care of, and you got to make sure that you have the dose that, because you with hormones, you can do anything and everything that you want to with compounding or doing the cycling, but you have to find that specific dose for that person. So that's probably the one thing, and probably the ultimate thing in terms of just generally BHRT, is you have to have a relationship with your physician and make regular appointments with them so you can go over your levels, so you make sure that you're hitting your goals, that your levels look good, that you're feeling good. So that's the one thing that I think when we've always talked about conventional medicine versus functional medicine versus BHRT and big box pharmacies, is you got to have that relationship.
Yeah, right. And one thing with the rhythmic dosing too is that the women that tend to do the worst are the ones that have lots of stress. The more stressed they are, the worse they do in the beginning. They eventually do really well later on because those hormone levels, raising up the estrogen progesterone actually helps to restore the adrenals. But the ones that are really stressed out in the beginning of that, the first 90 days tends to be a little bit more of a rockier transition there. And even in this case, even on her other, you know, on Karen's other current dosing, you know, the adrenals might be playing a little bit of a role there. And maybe, you know, I know she's only taking a quarter gram. So back to the dosing for a second, you know, and I missed that part as far as what she's actually doing. Our default all the time for what a woman takes is always, you know, a half a gram twice a day. If you're using a TopiClic, which a lot of women are, it's like a little deodorant dispenser that has a little knob on the bottom. You turn, two clicks, and some cream comes out. Two clicks equals a half a gram. So she's only doing, I think, what, you know, a quarter gram.
Yeah, she's doing a quarter gram, which is okay. Like I have some people who do a quarter gram. You just readjust the dose and make it higher. But when you're first starting with hormones, it is easier to do a half a gram twice a day. So if you need to decrease it based on their symptoms, it's really easy to do that. If you need to increase it based on their symptoms, it's really easy to do that. When you're doing such a small amount, like a quarter gram once a day or even a quarter gram twice a day, it's really hard to manipulate for that. And as we've always mentioned before in other podcasts or answering questions is, you know, throwing in that testosterone, progesterone, estriol, and estradiol all together in one cream, your variables are all stuck together. So if you raise it up a little bit, you're raising the progesterone and the testosterone up. If you decrease it, you're decreasing the progesterone and the testosterone. So it's really better to have them a little bit more separated so you have those independent variables that you can manipulate.
Yeah, and especially when you're going from conventional to BHRT, trying to put them all into one thing like that when you're making that transition, because let's be honest, the conventional to BHRT is not apples to apples. The women do not respond, even for like men with the androgel and the testrogel, they do not respond the same way as they do to bioidentical hormones. So having them as separate as possible, and honestly, again, just like one of the last questions we answered, don't add in the testosterone right away. Wait on the testosterone, and the testosterone should not be the highest of the three. It should be the lowest of the three. And then use that later once the hot flashes are gone. You and I always put sleep and hot flashes at the top of the list, because until those two things are solved, really nothing else is really going to improve all that well. And that's what you're trying to do in the first 90 days is, you know, you're trying to, now granted, she's on been on hormones for 2 years. She shouldn't be dealing with this after 2 years, right? She went from one to the other. She's trying to figure it out. Now, that's a long time to be still dealing with hot flashes when usually we want them to be gone within 6 months. Now that doesn't always happen. Sleep and stress will dictate hot flashes. The worse your sleep, the more you're stressed. Or if you come across a stressful period, then your hot flashes are going to go up as a result of that. So, you know, those are definitely things to keep in mind.
And then one last thing that Karen had mentioned, and we also kind of touched on this earlier in the show here, is about the estriol, using it vaginally to help for vaginal dryness, for pain, vaginal atrophy, for pain with intercourse, is estriol. So the rhythmic dosing, the static dosing, those all, at least in our country, you need prescriptions from a doctor. A doctor needs to write a prescription for you to be able to fill that at the compounding pharmacy or at the pharmacy. But estriol is also, in our country, a prescription, but you can buy it in certain forms online. So estriol is available in certain forms online. It really kind of depends on the person.
Yeah, right. It is a prescription. Estriol, it is FDA approved. Some people say that it's not and whatever, but it is, you can write prescriptions. You have to write prescription, but there are some products available. One company that we love that actually started by an ND, just like you and I, is called Bezwecken. And they have what are called hydration cubes, which is basically using 1 or 2 milligrams of plant-based estriol, which estriol comes from yams. And it's basically it's called a hydration cube, but it's basically an estriol suppository. And that can be found on our website. Just type in hydration cube into the search box. You can find it, no problem. And it's a very cost-effective way to solve that very inconvenient, very uncomfortable, kind of hard to deal with problem for women that a lot of times, unfortunately, their gynecologist doesn't know what to do with it.
Exactly. So those are a great alternative, that you can just buy online. It's easy. And estriol is very safe. But, there's other people that I do prescription estriol for that I have the compounding pharmacy either make a cream, make, inserts, make vaginal suppositories, vaginal capsules, and that it really kind of depends on the person what their goals are. But the hydration cubes are a great way just to kind of start off with, especially for vaginal atrophy. And like I had mentioned, that's available without a prescription. And I know we've gotten lots of comments from people outside of the United States saying that they can get their prescriptions for estriol or prescriptions without, just with their local pharmacist or chemist. But in our country, at least, we have to write a prescription for a lot of those. So I know there was a little bit of some discrepancy there.
Yeah, right. Again, this was a good one. There's kind of a lot going on there. But again, it comes down to a dosing issue. This is why you can't use the same dose for every woman. We have, hundreds and hundreds of women on doses, but the dose they're on is for them as an individual. Now, you might have 100 women are on the exact same dose, but that dose was derived for that individual based on where they came from, where they are, and where they're going. That's what, helps you and I kind of, create and formulate that dose, and you adjust over time. So hopefully this was beneficial for Karen. Hopefully everyone else got some, at least some idea about rhythmic dosing versus static dosing. I will tell you that static dosing is more popular. Okay, so for those of you that are considering it, if the rhythmic dosing resonates, those are the ones, in my experience, always seem to do the best. If you got to convince a woman of doing rhythmic dosing, she's not the right candidate because she's thinking about that period and how horrible it used to be when she was younger, and she doesn't want that experience again. That's not the right thing to do. Static dosing will do just fine, getting rid of your hot flashes and getting rid of your night sweats. Anything else to add, Dr. Davidson? Are we good on this one?
No, this was great. And I certainly, shout out to Karen. I appreciate you taking the time to write this question and trusting our advice.
Yeah. So again, if you have any more questions, you can write a comment on the blog or the podcast, or you can send us an email at help@progressionhealth.com. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Davidson.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Progress Your Health podcast. If you like what you've heard on this podcast, please give us a positive review on iTunes. This allows us to spread our message, grow our audience, and help more people around the world. For more information, visit our website at progressyourhealth.com.